whatever town that you're in, I will sign the book for you. And if I can't sign your book, I'll sign a book plate for you and send it to you so that you can put it in the book if you buy it. I promise you I will do that. Beth H. says, I am Episcopalian and put my son in Catholic high school and Lutheran elementary school. Was ready for college. Yes, it taught me discipline. Norman Sowart says, boo, CNN. I'm not sure why, Norman, you're saying that. Will your book tour come to Toronto, Canada? Glennis Fitzpatrick said, I don't think so at this point, but if there's enough of a demand, I will. I have done my last book tour. I did stuff in Canada, but it was virtual, and we actually had really good sales in Canada. I actually love Canada. I used to go to the, TIFF, which is the Toronto International Film Festival every year. Thank you, Fiercely Independent, for supporting independent media. I really appreciate that. I was strapped by nuns. I was too, as a child, Norm Wilson says. I was strapped as well. And also we had the ruler and the pointer. And what we had to do was when we were getting the ruler and the pointer, we had to, they bent our hands back like this so they could get us good. And if they didn't do that, they did it. They got us on the butt. What about Cleveland? You know, I was in these places. If there's enough of a demand, I will drive to through America. Actually, I'm actually considering doing another tour going across America. Let me know if you guys would like to do this. Ordering your book, Don, says Sheila Wilson. Thank you, Sheila. Don Lemon for press secretary, says Norman Sorwitz. That would be great. I would love to be press secretary. I'm not sure they would be interested in me. I may have too much of a big mouth, but who knows? Eric C. says, hi, Don. Will you be in South Florida for your book tour? Yes, I have a Florida, I think a Miami date on the book tour. So look that up. We will probably put it online for you. Come to Columbus, Ohio, says Pamela Carter. Listen, I can come to you guys or I can do a virtual event for you guys. I can send you a book plate, all of those things. So guys, I love you. I'm so happy that you are still with us for this experience, for the Lemonation. By the way, I met so many people at the convention who came up to me and they said, hey, I'm a Lemonhead. I'm part of the Lemonation. I was so pleasantly surprised and so moved by it. So there are lots of folks out there like us, lots of like-minded Lemonheads and members of the Lemonation. So thank you guys. I will see you tomorrow. Make sure you check out our content on social media. That way you can find out wherever I am. Make sure you go to my Instagram. I think it's, I forget what the page is called. It's like a For You. It's a personal page that you can go. I think it's a For You page on Instagram. And I give you like personal updates and things that you don't get necessarily on the rest of my social media. I've been a little bit ill, so I haven't engaged as much as I should, but I promise you I will. Our TikTok is on fire, everyone. So if you have not joined us on TikTok, you are missing out. Our Instagram is on fire, Facebook as well. X is, you know, there's a lot of haters on there. But, you know, it is what it is, which is the reason I wanted to join it, is to have a voice there, wanted to rejoin in, at least. Okay, so thank you guys for joining. I'll see you tomorrow, if not sooner, if something happens. So Lemonheads, Lemonation, have a fantastic evening. Send me what you want to know, questions. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. If you have questions about the book, when you get it and you read it, we'll do like a book club and we'll answer questions. We'll read, you will do some reading online, etc. So go and pre-order, please, and make us proud for the bestsellers list, okay? Have a great evening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help. Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims.
Welcome home, everybody. This is Angela Rye, Andrew Gillum, and Tiffany Cross. You are tuned in to this week's Minipod.
Uh-huh. You know, we do Juneteenth and 4th of July, but we don't say Happy Independence Day. Uh-huh, because that ain't when we got our independence. But we, you know, we eat on both days. Mm-hmm. All right, now, somebody come on in here and bless the food so we can go on and eat. Who was that that died on 4th of July? Larry. Uh-huh, had that bad wreck. You remember? On the 4th. Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't do no sweets. Where the sweets at? I know y'all don't think we just gonna eat all this meat and potato salad. This is strawberry pie in the refrigerator. Okay. Hey, baby, come here. Now, who is your folks? Wendell is your granddaddy, right? Uh-huh, you look just like Wendell. Go in there and fix me something to drink, but don't give me no soda. Give me like a sweet tea and give me a cup of ice with it. Look just like your granddaddy. Mm-hmm.
Y'all.
I know them.
Welcome
I know all of them.
Welcome to the cookout. Don't you know every last one of those people? I love us. I could go to any cookout anywhere on any MLK Boulevard or in any neighborhood and be good.
But the only thing that was missing was Wynn DeFune.
Wynn DeFune. I mean, these are things that are like kind of pop culture-y for us, but there is something deeply rooted and special and sentimental about the quote-unquote cookout for us. And I wanted to start with something humorous because we always say, like, who's invited to the cookout, who's not invited to the cookout.
Yeah.
And it's so true because you have to have a certain understanding and community. Now, in transparency, before we were getting ready to record this segment, and these two started podding talking about, I'd rather talk about what food ain't invited to the cookout.
That's what I want to talk about.
And Andrew said macaroni and cheese made on the stovetop.
That's right.
Ain't invited to the cookout.
Yeah,
if it wasn't on 375 for an hour, we don't want it.
Hello. Hello.
But I was asking Angela, is Tim Scott invited to the cookout? And she said it depends if he put raisins in his potato salad.
Yeah.
Well, I heard on good authority he prefers raisins in the potato salad.
But I want to know what he's going to bring. So sometimes people bring nasty food to the cookout.
That's true. How do you know if you're going to eat somebody's food at the cookout?
How it look? And who made it?
You know what? This is going to be real shady, but it's how it looks, who made it, and how they look. So, for example...
Say more.
If you look like money make you clean inside, but you ain't clean on the outside, I'm not doing it.
Especially if we know you live in a dirty house.
We have a cousin. Yeah. So, my mom's first cousin... I'm going to get in trouble for this, but we going to tell it all on this cookout episode.
You can't tell the name.
Yes, Rhonda. So, my cousin Rhonda, who I love, Rhonda has taught me how to like cook so many things growing up. Rhonda is on a health kick now. So we had a big, huge cookout, but cook-in because it was Christmas time. It was 65 Negroes in the house for Christmas, celebrating the first Christmas that my grandmother was.
Is this the Christmas where you made up a song? The whole family
that
made
was
up
Thanksgiving.
A song? Oh, okay.
But for Christmas, everybody wore pajamas because if Graham could stay in pajamas all day, she would. So we wore pajamas. We had gumbo. It was huge, and I was so tired. But Rhonda can cook. So I was like, Rhonda, you coming? And it's 10 of your grandkids, your kids come. What you making? She was like, oh, I'm going to make this tofu sweet potato pie. And this was me. I was like, no. So, Rhonda, I love you. You brought the sweet potato tofu pie. I tried it just because, but I would really like for you to get off
your
health kit.
Was it good?
No!
Tofu is not invited to the cookout.
And she made it with honey because she's not doing sugar right now. Rhonda, please do sugar again.
Yeah.
I miss you, Rhonda.
Rhonda, you can stay in your kick, but for everybody else,
kick us with the sugar.
Sweet potato pie. Sweet potato pie.
But I was mad. We were tight about it because she can, like, this is a cousin who can, like,
she could
literally create a recipe for you and it's going to be good. And this time, she could have left that one.
Mm. My grandmother was like the resident cook. So every July 4th was a huge deal because it was my grandfather's birthday on the 4th. My father's birthday was a 6th, and my cousin Robin's birthday was an 8th. Nobody died on the 4th. Like Miss EJ Speaks. Shout out to Miss EJ Speaks, by the way, for opening the podcast for us. But I think when everybody came over, they were Gladys Reed was my grandmother's name. I said, "What Gladys cook?" She would start cooking the day before.
She sound like she can cook.
Yeah, she does.
Gladys Reed, and she would be up all day. I would be there, her sous chef, and it was like just. But that was to our point that we've talked about before. That was her joy.
Yes.
Feeding people. She loved to see people enjoy her food. Mm-hmm. Her potato salad was amazing. Now, I'll tell you, as I've gotten into the world, people have a lot of strong opinions about different potato salads.
Variations.
I've had some really good, different variations. I've had really good potato salad. I've not had too many bad potato salad experiences, but I'm mostly with people who know how to make it.
Yeah.
What did your grandma put in her potato salad?
Relish potatoes. She put green peppers in hers, which
tender potatoes or were they
tender? Tender potatoes, eggs. Of course, mayo. She topped it with paprika.
My mom would put a little bit.
And then probably
mustard.
Some other stuff that she ain't show me or tell me.
Mustard.
Would, always paprika. To me, as a little kid, if it ain't have red stuff sprinkled
on top,
it wasn't
right.
No, it's real potatoes.
It wasn't that, or my mother would slice up in addition to the eggs that would be in it. She put eggs, like, with sliced eggs on top.
That's unnecessary.
That's how I know it. It's unnecessary. Why we do it? It's good.
It's delicious. Yeah. And if it don't have it, I'm likely not going to eat it.
I don't want it.
My dad, I don't know when this started happening. I really don't like it because I'm not an olives person. But my dad likes olives. My mom started putting black olives on top of the potato salad.
No.
I'm like, I don't need
this. Mama and Papa Rye, please.
She definitely needs to put it on his plate.
Please, no. Can I just, I just want to say this real quick, because when we were talking about doing this before, I actually looked into why we eat some of the things. So I want us to know, because we get grown out here in these streets and try to get bougie all of a sudden, and we don't want that red soda. I used to drink that red soda.
Or red Kool-Aid.
Red Kool-Aid. Yes. We don't have Kool-Aid anymore. You know what?
Is they it don't gone? Make Kool-Aid anymore?
No, I'm sure it's there, but it used to be in everybody's refrigerator.
For sure.
With the orange flavor the last time I had Kool-Aid. I didn't do the orange slice.
I couldn't have Kool-Aid in my house. It's only to get to cook out.
Really?
My mom would not let me have Kool-Aid. And the crazy thing is, she would let me have Hawaiian Punch, though.
Then that's worse.
That's the same thing.
Hawaiian Punch is... Not if you eat my family's Kool-Aid.
We would have sugar with a little bit of Kool-Aid.
Kid and play.
With the sugar just...
Yes, the diabetes
she
Kool-Aid.
She stirs up the sugars.
Well, there's a reason why we drink red drinks. Because every cookout, for me anyway, we had red drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Red was used to symbolize resilience and joy. So that's why we have a lot of red at cookouts. Strawberry pie, barbecue, red rice, watermelon, all those things.
Yeah.
And red drink. The color red is associated with ancestral reverence in West African traditions.
Huh.
It's known as bisap in Senegal. Sorrel. Y'all bet sorrel?
Sorrel is fantastic.
In the Caribbean. Rosella in the Horn of Africa and the Middle East. Carcade in Egypt. Mm. Agua Fresca de Jamaica in Central America. So these are traditions that carried far. In the hood, these red drinks are known as High C, Hawaiian Punch,
Kool-Aid.
Red soda, and Kool-Aid, as we've talked about.
Yeah. I like Fago Red Pop.
Fago. You're right.
Fago Red Pop.
Grape, red.
Pineapple
those are my,
for me.
Orange, red pop. Pineapple. All those were good. Watermelon, when the enslaved won our emancipation during the Civil War, free black people grew, ate, and sold watermelons. Mm-hmm. It made that a symbol of our freedom. I love watermelon.
Me too.
It is one of my favorite
fruits. My kids love it.
Southern whites were threatened by blacks' newfound freedom, and so they responded by making the watermelon a symbol of black people's perceived uncleanliness and laziness and childishness. So when you are out there saying, I ain't eating watermelon, and I don't eat watermelon in front of white people, you are just perpetuating what they wanted you to feel. I will eat watermelon in front of anybody. I don't give a shit.
That's
I love
why all
watermelon.
Those minstrel shows had
we had them eating
watermelon.
Like trying to make our joy our pain.
Yeah.
So we got to get over that. Fried chicken. It was common, but yet a sacred farm animal in West Africa. And white colonizers were more accustomed to eating other variations of poultry. And so they would leave chicken as an afterthought. But in 1692, the Virginia General Assembly outlawed slaves from owning horses and cattle and blah, blah, blah. So that's how we came to eat chicken. So I just thought it was like, wow, these are actual rich traditions that we had that we participate in that we don't even know. Here's my question, though. I want to shift us off food for a second. Are you on that spades table? You at that big whiz table, or you want them dominoes?
Dominoes.
I knew you were going to say dominoes. I don't think, when are you old enough to play big whiz? I want some IT
still
now.
My memory of big whiz are my aunts and uncles, great aunts and uncles to be clear, cussing each other out over brown liquor playing big whiz at my aunt knows
Charlie's house.
But
we can't leave food without. Are the traditions around New Year's Eve just like this? Everybody observe those?
Black eyed peas,
collard greens.
That's black people.
Just us.
Yeah.
Well, but there are other cultures that have their traditions, but I think black eyed peas and collard greens are us. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they assign meaning to each, right? Prosperity or pork, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Collard greens at the cookout. To me, they're winter foods, but collard greens are part of the cookout.
My greens are legendary. You won't eat them because I have meat in them. Not how I do it. I literally make my stock like for a half a day.
That pot liquor.
And that turkey falls off. It gets gelatinous if it sits and gets cold. It's good.
Now, do you like your cornbread? Do y'all like your food to touch?
I do not like my food to touch.
Really?
My kids don't. I didn't growing up, but when it comes to greens and cleaning up,
the cornbread is part of the greens.
The cornbread is required.
That's what you got to sop it up.
Yes, you have to sop it up.
And the pot liquor should complement the cornbread in the most appropriate way.
You're going to have to eat meat to have my greens.
So are we going to
I'll taste them.
Are we going to hit any people who...
is and who is not invited to the cookout?
Who can't come?
Well, who you got?
Who you got?
I got a couple of cousins who should be.
Don't take it personal.
So I won't name check any of them, but y'all know who you are. You know what you did. You know who you are.
It's real. We working out family drama.
Mike,
you know what you did.
Yeah.
They reneged at the space table. They don't deserve to come.
It might be worse than that. You know my phone number, but don't call me, bitch. Let me tell you what's not invited. And I don't have people but I do have family members. Don't you ever come to the it's a potluck. You gonna come with a grocery bag with canned goods?
Oh, you can leave that.
Don't you even do it. The other thing that's a pet peeve, some people don't feel this strongly as me. I'm like extremely obnoxious about baked goods. If you come to the house with a store bought pie, I'm so offended.
Especially that you can get from anywhere.
Please don't do that. If you really gonna buy store bought, bring your little sodas, bring your little drinks, bring some paper plates, some ice.
We always
bring
need
the
ice.
Please don't bring me no baked goods from the store or for no cans.
It doesn't make any sense. It's lazy.
You guys bring liquor.
It's lazy.
Bring liquor, chasers, paper products, things like that.
In my family, I would rather you actually not bring any liquor. Don't even bring no wine or no beer. We all have that in our family.
It just goes so left. But it's always
liquor at the cookout.
My family knows better.
But you can bring your own personal supply.
Y'all have a dry cookout?
Yeah, we need to.
Oh, interesting. It's all kind of things happening at the cookouts that I go to.
This is why we need a dry one. Like
there usually is a whole separate cooler.
Oh, and okay. Well, can I just really quickly, there are rules to this. Mm-hmm. So I want to give a shout out to Kayvon on stage because he actually, some of the things y'all saying, he has the rules. So we're going to play that.
Oh, let's hear it.
Kayvon, tell him what to do. What's the rules for the cookout?
Don't come at the time I tell you the barbecue starts. If I say come at 2 o'clock, show up around 4, 5:30, 7. If you come at 2, you must be wanting to help me clean up the house. If you come at 2, I won't even have the barbecue coals ready yet. If you come at 2, I'm at the store. Don't come at 2 o'clock. Don't come at the time I suggest. And if you don't have anything to bring, say, man, I wish I would come, man, but I ain't got enough money to bring nothing. That allows me to say, it's cool, come on anyway. Just make sure you come late and eat last. Don't be coming and not bring nothing and then first person in line. You sit with the kids. Number 3, don't be a vegan. Not today. This is not the time to argue. Hey, could you just clean off a place of the grill for my soy burger? I got it from Garden Farms. Get out.
Listen here. Listen.
So wait, Kev on stage. I thought it was Kev on stage. So it's Kev on stage, and my dumbass was thinking Kev on.
Kayvon on stage.
No, you're invited.
His
name wrong.
You know, that's family gatherings like that are some of the places where you really can't fake superficial. You know, we're talking about deep versus
indeed.
Light.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, is that right? Because I heard y'all was getting a divorce. That's what your mama said.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Like,
Lord.
What?
Why would you even say that? Yeah.
No, I'm just saying. They, you know, somebody's going to go
into all your business.
Where you ain't supposed to be.
Yeah.
Y'all still sleeping together? Or what's going on? You
know, that's mostly like, old people, though, to do
it
that.
It is, but they take an advantage of their age.
They
know better.
That's what they get to do.
I have seen some all-out brawls over that space table. Cousin Tiara, y'all know Cousin Tiara?
I don't know Tiara.
Cousin Tiara had an experience where she was ejected, and she tells us about it. Let's hear from Cousin Tiara, and then we're going to talk about these dominoes in space afterwards.
Listen, if you that serious about the space game, don't ask me to play. Now, I just got kicked the fuck up out of my grandma's house, my own grandma's house, at family game night because I didn't know I had a diamond. Listen, I need y'all to understand. Everybody don't know how to play that shit. Who even invented the game spades? They don't even play that at the casino. That's not even a real game. Motherfucker wanna uncousin me now. First of all, what is even the word reneged? Like, where did that even come from? That sound racist as fuck to me. And the crazy part is, we ain't even playing for no money. We is playing for bragging rights. I said I wasn't never doing that shit again last year when my strong-ass cousin broke my grandma's table, slamming the card down on the table. Because what you got to be so aggressive for?
Listen, she cannot be my partner.
No, she can't be in the family at all.
She can't be my partner.
I don't really get it.
Are people who don't play spades invited to the cookout? They don't play spades or dominoes. They don't play spades or dominoes.
Yeah, I think there's some.
You need spectators. What is reneg? Where does it come from? I know what it is in the game.
Andrew, you ain't gonna never be my partner.
No, no. I know what it means to reneg. I had to catch some people up. But what I'm saying is,
it's an actual word. I think we just only use it in spades.
What does it mean to renege?
They use renege other times.
I mean, maybe I only use it in space.
I've never heard it used otherwise.
Me either. Really? I literally only heard it used at the space
table.
Take
it back? To take it back?
Is that to renegotiate? Is it short for renegotiate?
No, it's not short for anything.
It's to take
it. Renege.
Renege means, renege is spelled R-E-N-E-G-E in case you thought it was a renega. It's not.
That's why she said, what is it exactly?
Renege, it means to retract, to withdraw, to pull back.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm not just saying it is a word.
I want to know.
But Andrew.
It's a definition.
Right.
I can't believe we're going to
Andrew was making the point that it's an actual word.
He can't hear me. He'll come back in a minute.
Okay. Well, Andrew's looking up renege. As long as you know what it means on the spade table.
Okay.
Do you want to read the definition?
To renege is to go back on your word or fail to keep a promise. Not quite lying. Reneging is more a sin of omission. Sit your ass down. Failing to do what you said you would.
We're not invited to the cookout.
The Latin negar means to deny.
Not a negar. Okay.
So
we got the definition.
Okay.
Does it say negar?
Negar.
Yeah. Spell it.
N-E-G-A-R-E.
Is there anybody who gets a special invite to the cookout who would not otherwise be invited?
I think Bill Clinton's probably still invited.
No.
My
auntie
is still loving.
Well, just tell me why.
Every black woman I know loves
him. So you're giving your sacred pass to the cookout.
This is where you always see
Are you giving your sacred pass? You get one pass, and you're giving it to former President Clinton?
I don't think he gets a pass. I think he would be on the invite list.
He is not on the invite list. By definition, he gets a pass. So are you giving your sacred one pass
no,
to President Clinton?
No, because I don't
Clinton?
Think he needs it. So, nah.
We're so, here to let you know.
Revisit me later. Revisit me.
Okay. Well, he does need it. Believe me. Do you have a pass that you want to give to somebody?
I didn't know that we were doing this part. Who would I give mine
to? I just came up with it.
I like it.
It takes some thought because it's serious.
Who's yours? I'm going to do mine after yours.
I don't know. I thought y'all was going to give me some good answers. Give me something
Sounds
to think
like
about.
We're omitting this section.
I don't want to
Let me think.
I don't want to reneged on this section.
Right. Who is the sacred
Right, like I get one
sacred
pass
invitation.
To give away to somebody outside the community. Who
Jesus,
am I giving
Jesus
this pass
is in
to?
The community.
Okay, and you cannot. And first of all, Jesus is definitely in the community.
He's definitely
and
in the community.
They have to be alive.
Oh,
alive!
Can't bring your
yes,
shoes,
somebody
no
who
Jesus
you're
shoes.
Saying yes today. This person, I'm going to invite this person to the cookout. They could be anybody.
Who
that's so good.
I know it's a hard question
on.
To
that
answer, though, right? It could be somebody you know personally, but they better be good. You got to explain to us. And it, they have to remember, we talk about creating safety. You want your guests to feel safe. Mm-hmm. You want them to feel safe. They're now your guests in your home.
It's a lot of pressure, too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I want y'all to take these Wakanda passes seriously.
You know what? Does it have to be a white person that's invited to cookout or somebody that we would want to come to our family cookout?
But no, this is the proverbial cookout.
So that means it has to be a non-black.
Is it someone that could have also been kicked off the reservation?
Are you inviting somebody back?
I'm asking as part of the rules. Could it not necessarily be a white person, but somebody
alive?
Either like,
yes,
you're out.
The Wakandan Council will have to review what you asked.
You're
but,
out, and,
yes.
I'm giving.
But if
you
there's
chance.
Somebody whose pass to the cookout has been revoked,
yeah,
then yes, if you are choosing to give your sacred pass to somebody who's previously been kicked off,
that
if you're
like
you know what,
idea.
I'm gonna invite Clarence Thomas back. We gonna look at you side, right?
No,
so I want to know who this person is. That you,
you know,
are
but
inviting.
Anita Hill, was she ever kicked
Anita
off?
Hill is
yes.
black.
What are you talking about, Andrew?
I'm thinking about those people who were kicked off.
When was Anita Hill ever? She was never kicked off. She was a champion. What are you talking about?
She wasn't when confirmation was happening.
Yes, she was.
Did not stand with her.
That's true. That's partially true.
They also didn't stand with Alice Walker and The Color Purple.
Is whatever.
Okay, I think mine is going to go to someone who does a lot of great work for our people.
Mm-hmm.
He recently signed on to Marilyn Mosby's pardon application.
I know who this is.
It is Barry Sheck.
Yes, I'm with
Innocence
it.
Innocence Project. Barry's fun, too.
Okay, yep. I like that.
Shout out to Barry Sheck.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Welcome home, Barry Sheck.
Welcome home, Barry.
And thank you for welcoming so many of our people
home.
Yeah, doing the work
seriously.
You do every
welcome
day.
Home.
I like
home.
That. That was a real good one, Angela.
That was a good one.
I still ain't came up with a good one.
Well,
maybe this warrants a part two, because I don't have anybody.
Yeah, to be continued.
Well, y'all let us know. Give us some ideas, guys. When you listen to this, drop a comment. Let
who
us know.
Who should not be able to come to the cookout,
let us know in the comments who should come to the cookout and who should not get an invite to the cookout.
You guys have somebody you're kicking out of the cookout?
Oh, yes.
Who?
Several people.
No, just pick one. So you can't do, if you can only get
one.
I may
borrow one of yours. Go get one.
I hate to say this person's name.
Say it.
She's already been kicked out of the cookout,
say
though.
It.
Just say it.
Omarosa. She can't go to the cookout.
She can't come.
I'm
she
bringing
can't
her back. She's a first lady of a church. In Jacksonville, Florida.
So what that means?
I do not care,
and
right?
So
what that means?
She endorsed my campaign and helped me.
She didn't help you.
Ball. She did, yeah.
No,
she. Okay, well,
you helped her. She tried to look, bring it
she
back.
She can go
the
to the church cookout and hang with Jesus.
She said at the name of Donald Trump, every knee shall bow. And I said, enough. That is not in the
Bible.
That's
blasphemy.
That was at Reverend Tarkin's National Action Network.
But
she said that at the podium.
Experience
yes.
is post that one.
She can't
I'm talking
end,
about post
she got
that
down,
one.
I was like,
she left.
You can't piss on us. And
soon
tell
as Angela got
like,
to the mic, I knew she was going to leave. She got scared.
We're all capable of redemption.
Okay,
here
we go.
Kick out, Andrew.
I'm just saying,
you know what I'm saying?
Who are you kicking out the cookout?
No, because you know what? I proffered this question to y'all before. Like, at what point do the sins of your past
at what point do you answer this question?
Did she ever come and ask for
like a mea culpa?
Right.
He thinks that her endorsing the campaign
not
is a mea culpa.
Not just me. No, I think she's done so in books.
I want to know who you're kicking out of
yeah,
the
yeah, who are you kicking out?
Oh, man.
Andrew inviting
not
Katie.
Like
he definitely inviting Katie
Katie's
to the
not
Karen.
Coming. Katie's not
Katie
coming.
And
not
Karen.
Off my invite.
He asked for the y'all one
that
you didn't
put
use,
me in
Karen.
That box. Not
Katie.
Today. Not today, Satan.
Not today, Satan.
I'm going to think about it. I have to be thoughtful about
okay,
it.
Okay, so
mine
two.
Is, I think that Clarence has been gone. But mm-hmm. if Clarence thought he was going to bring up his folding chair,
yeah,
folding chair broke, brother.
Clarence
well,
don't want to
his colleague, Ketanji Brown Jackson, is absolutely invited every day of the
she's
week.
She's black. You have to find
just
a
saying,
non-black
he's black too, but
person.
She's invited every day of
no,
the week.
No. Okay. You don't understand
Andrew
these
don't
rules.
Understand the assignment.
I understand the rules. I'm just not prepared to play by them today.
Okay, fine. We have failed the assignment today. Andrew and I didn't have. Angela came up with two good ones.
Angela was the brave one.
We'll keep working. But we need your help. We need your help.
Give us
so
some
you
guidance.
Guys, please give us some guidance.
Who's
on
not
this.
Invited and yeah. who should be invited?
Well, I'll just say it. Candace Owens is not invited. That's it. Bye.
I don't know who that is.
Who is that?
I have no
I
clue.
I don't know her.
But the people who do have thoughts.
Kanye's still off the
I
reservation.
I don't know her.
Oh, that's a good one.
Stop saying reservation.
Yeah. That's.
I don't mean it in their way.
Okay.
I just mean ours.
But that's a good one on who's not invited to the cookout.
He's still not there yet.
You guys can tell us this on video or you can leave it in the comments.
We would
and
love
we'll
the video.
It. Yeah, we prefer the video. Send us a video on who is invited to the cookout, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who is not honorary. Invited to the cookout.
You're honorary. Invited is honorary for people confused like my brother Andrew.
Yes.
And not invited is
you've been kicked
skin
out.
Folk, but you're clearly not kinfolk, so you are not allowed.
You are dishonorably discharged from black.
Discharged. Booted. Goodbye.
But most importantly, don't forget the
food. You violated the provision, do no harm.
Yes. And if you can send your videos from a cookout, we would love
it. Oh, that'd be great.
Well, summertime.
We didn't even talk about what other food should not come.
Send us your food. We'll do a part two. Send us your food. Whatever y'all got to say about the cookout, send us a video, and we will do a part two to
this
one.
But not necessarily the pictures, because the food looks nasty. I'm going to say something.
Either way, it's a podcast, so we won't be able to see it. Remember
that.
Well, on the YouTube, they can, but it would be easier if you just tell us on video who's invited, who's not invited, what food you got, what food can't come.
Dang, she got 17 questions, don't she?
Well, because whatever they want to say about the cookout, we're welcome. Welcome home,
cookout commentary.
Cardi B, macaroni in a pot is not invited. Not to this one.
You are really stuck on this.
Like, I don't understand what Andrew.
I just find it disgusting. Like it.
I know exactly what you're referencing.
I understand
and
too.
I'm moving along because you have been X-rated today.
I understand.
That's X-rated?
No,
Angela don't know. It is absolutely
emoting.
Angela. I will tell you what it
the
is.
The macaroni
after.
In the pot
okay,
is X-rated.
Don't even. I will explain it to you after.
Welcome home.
The people in the comments will be able to explain it.
Welcome to the cookout, y'all.
Welcome home. All right, thanks for listening, you guys. Please, please, please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and tune into our regular episode on Thursdays. Welcome home, y'all.
Some day for our fan club picnic, sunshine, blue skies.
Sunshine, blue skies, terrible, isn't it? But maybe we'll have a sudden storm later.
Okay, here we are. Everybody set for the sack race?
All set.
Captain Peach first. You're supposed to use an empty sack.
That would make it easier, Rocky.
Hey, your feet are sticking out. That's not fair.
Well, must be a moth hole.
That had to be a pretty big moth.
You got a pretty big moth yourself, buddy.
This sack racing seems awful dangerous to me.
Dangerous?
Yeah, might run into a tree or something.
Now, first one to the tree and back wins. Ready, set, go! You are so good at this, Bullwinkle.
It's nothing. I spend a lot of my spare time in the sack, you know.
Time for the Miss Bullwinkle and Rocky Fan Club contest.
All set, Dolly.
Every girl is like a melody.
That's melody.
With Natasha in contest, it's melody.
Where are the other contestants?
What other contestants? She's the only girl in the club.
Sort of narrows down the competition, don't it?
As head judge, Natasha, I'd like to give you this trophy. Pretty good, Natasha. Last thing you got from a judge was 90 days.
Well, let's see. Did everybody bring his favorite dish like we decided?
Yep.
Bullwinkle, yours is empty.
This is my favorite dish, Rocky. You didn't mention anything about bringing food.
And we begin tonight with reality, which is sinking in a really big way. In the past week, since the debate, we've been treated to a flood of newspaper op-eds led by the New York Times, of course, telling Joe Biden what to do. Pundits telling him what to do. Democrats hand-wringing behind the scenes and leaking the hand-wringing to Politico and the Times so donors can tell Joe Biden what to do. And Dr. Jill Biden and apparently even Hunter telling him what to do. So let me tell you what this show is going to do. We are going to pay all of that the same amount of attention. The same amount of attention will go to that debate as Republican lawmakers and conservative media paid to the insurrection and the 34-count felony Donald Trump was convicted of and the $500 million penalty he owes the state of New York for bilking taxpayers and insurance companies and the jury finding that he sexually abused E. Jean Carroll in a Bergdorf Goodman's dressing room in the 90s and then defamed her. We will give it exactly that same energy. Because while I will never gaslight you, I'm not going to be out here saying that you didn't see what you saw last Thursday on that debate stage. You saw it. I saw it. Everybody who frantically texted me saw it. And there are plenty of places that you can go to hear about whether and how the Democratic candidate, not the criminal candidate, should step aside. Y'all Democrats handle that. Figure it out and let me know. Because what I know is that Donald J. Trump cannot be allowed back into the White House. Full stop, period. Because Donald Trump is a dangerous, felonious, wannabe autocrat who is vowing to release hundreds of violent insurrectionists from prison by pardoning them, to open internment camps on U.S. soil and round up millions of undocumented migrants to put there. and sick the Justice Department on his declared enemies. He has called for the execution of people he doesn't like, including former Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley. He has admitted he wants to be a dictator, like his favorite dictators, Vladimir Putin, China's Xi Jinping, and the dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. And please spare me the on day one bit. They all vow to be only a dictator on day one. Second, Project 2025 cannot be allowed to be implemented in the United States. It is straight-up fascism, which would unleash the U.S. military on American citizens like an official death squad, turn the federal government into the equivalent of the Chinese parliament or the Russian Duma, where you have to take a personal oath to the official party and to the president to keep your job. It would unleash a national abortion ban, using federal agencies to end access to everything from contraceptives to IVF to books and more. It means turning this country literally into Gilead from The Handmaid's Tale, except with tariff-induced 100% inflation. And if you were to combine a Trump autocracy, a fully Christian nationalist Republican Party in control of both houses of Congress, and the current Supreme Court majority, well, Katie, bar the door and unleash the devil, because we would be finished as a democracy. Because on Monday, days before this country celebrates its independence from the British king, the Leonard Leo VI Supreme Court majority, in a ruling written by Chief Justice John Roberts, ruled as follows, quote, under our constitutional structure of separated powers, the nature of presidential power entitles a former president to absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for actions within his conclusive and preclusive constitutional authority. And he is entitled to at least presumptive immunity from prosecution for all his official acts. There is no immunity for unofficial acts. In regular people terms, the court has said that Donald Trump is absolutely immune from prosecution from any act that he took while he was president, including ordering the Justice Department to draw up fake voter fraud allegations in order to help him steal the election that he lost. They ordered the lower courts to review whether Trump sending a mob to intimidate Mike Pence into accepting fake electors instead of the real ones, and Trump pressuring states to send fake electors to get Pence to go along with the scheme, is part of a president's official acts, as if that is even possible. But the bottom line of their ruling is as bad or worse than the worst case scenario that anyone except those of us who have figured out this court's utter depravity anticipated when Justice Sotomayor asked Trump's lawyer this question.
Attention retirees, if you're willing to be at your computer from 9 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. on most weekdays, I can show you one simple trade that could potentially bankroll your retirement. Hi, I'm Dave Aquino, and I help ordinary people go after their retirement goals sooner by teaching them how to master the retirement trade. This is a special trade designed to be used every morning between 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. Eastern Time. Why this window? I can't share that information in this video, but you'll discover the exact reason why inside this free report. Just click the button or link on this video to download this valuable report for free. Click the link now. This video is ending in 5 seconds, so click now.
You're a musician, and we know what musicians want. Gear. Do you know who has the gear? American Musical Supply. We've been helping musicians create their sound for almost 40 years. Awesome 0% interest payment plans available. Get your gear right away with fast and free shipping always. Super amazing 45-day money-back guarantee on most items. And if you have any questions, just ask. The AMS gear experts are standing by. We love to help musicians because we are musicians. When you're looking for the best music gear around, choose AMS. Shop now at AmericanMusical.com.
If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
According to Roberts, yeah. He could use SEAL Team 6 to kill an opponent, as long as he did it officially. There were a number of tells in this ruling that should make you think a lot about Project 2025. Roberts called repeatedly in his ruling for a president to be free to take bold and unhesitating action without fear of prosecution, even if said bold action includes brazenly breaking the law. When Trump says he'd like to order the Justice Department to prosecute the Biden family and anyone else for made-up crimes, John Roberts offers this on page 28, quote, "The executive branch has exclusive authority and absolute discretion to decide which crimes to investigate and to prosecute, including with respect to allegations of election crime." And if that political prosecution is a sham, oh, okay, let's go to page 29. Quote, "The indictment's allegations that the requested investigations were shams or proposed for an improper purpose do not divest the president of exclusive authority over the investigative and prosecutorial functions of the Justice Department and its officials." Want to implement the Project 2025 plan to fire 50,000 federal employees who failed to take the loyalty oath? Okay, let's go to page 28. "The president's management of the executive branch requires him to have unrestricted power to remove the most important of his subordinates, such as the attorney general, in their most important duties." I mean, you have to be bold and decisive to implement the right-wing agenda, am I right? Unsurprisingly, the three liberal justices dissented, with the principal dissent written by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who ripped the white sheet off the majority's argument, writing, "The president of the United States is the most powerful person in the country and possibly the world. When he uses his official powers in any way, under the majority's reasoning, he now will be insulated from criminal prosecution. Orders the Navy SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival, immune. Organizes a military coup to hold on to power, immune. Takes a bribe in exchange for a pardon, immune, 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 immune." And she closes her scathing dissent this way. "Never in the history of our republic has a president had reason to believe that he would be immune from criminal prosecution if he used the trappings of his office to violate the criminal law. Moving forward, however, all former presidents will be cloaked in such immunity. If the occupant of that office misuses official power for personal gain, the criminal law that the rest of us must abide by will not provide a backstop. With fear for our democracy, I dissent." But it is the separate dissent written by Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson that reveals the real scheme here. Quoting from her dissent, "With the adoption of a paradigm that sometimes exempts the president from the dictates of the law, when the court says so, this court has effectively snatched from the legislature the authority to bind the president or not to Congress's mandates, and it has also thereby substantially augmented the power of both the office of the presidency and itself. Who will be responsible for drawing the crucial line between the president's personal and official affairs? To ask the question is to know the answer. A majority of this court, applying an indeterminate test, will pick and choose which laws apply to which presidents by labeling his various allegedly criminal acts as core, official, or manifestly or palpably beyond the president's authority." In other words, to put it in Game of Thrones terms, America now has a king and six hands of the king. Happy effing Independence Day.
As we await Trump's sentencing in that case, this immunity ruling today from the Supreme Court is at hand. And I'm not a lawyer. It is, as far as I can tell, in my layman's understanding, it is as radical as anything I have ever seen from the United States Supreme Court. I can certainly tell you that it is profoundly worse. It is a profoundly worse ruling than even the most pessimistic observers predicted. There was essentially one substantial aspect of immunity for Trump that Trump and his lawyers put to the court that they did not get. That was this sort of internally contradictory, confusing proposal they'd made that a president could only be criminally prosecuted for crimes if you first impeached him in the House and convicted him in the Senate. The implication was that any failed impeachment effort would effectively immunize that behavior for life. That thing about impeachment being connected in that way to a criminal prosecution, the court threw that out as nonsense. But they gave him everything else he asked for and more. They gave him immunity in every other way that he asked for it, including for things his own lawyer conceded weren't among Trump's official acts as president. things that Trump's lawyer conceded were private acts were described in today's majority ruling as things for which Trump might nevertheless potentially get immunity. Here's how Justice Sonia Sotomayor put it in her dissent today. She said that the court, quote, refuses to designate any course of conduct alleged in the indictment as private, despite concessions from Trump's counsel. She continues, when asked about allegations that private actors helped implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding, and Trump and a co-conspirator attorney directed that effort, Trump's counsel conceded the alleged conduct by Trump was private. She then says, quote, only the majority, meaning only the majority ruling in the court today, thinks that organizing fraudulent slates of electors might qualify as an official act of the president. In other words, Trump may be even more protected from prosecution on the fake electors thing than even Trump asked for. Justice Sotomayor's dissent is being cited widely today, not only because of its heat, it is considerably hot, but also because of the light that it sheds on the practical consequences of this ruling from the majority. She says, quote, looking beyond the fate of this particular prosecution, the long-term consequences of today's decision are stark. The court effectively creates a law-free zone around the president, upsetting the status quo that has existed since the founding. This new official acts immunity now lies about like a loaded weapon for any president that wishes to place his own interests, his own political survival, or his own financial gain above the interests of the nation. The president of the United States is the most powerful person in the country and possibly the world. When he uses his official powers in any way under the majority's reasoning, he now will be insulated from criminal prosecution. Orders the Navy's SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival? Immune. Organizes a military coup to hold on to power? Immune. Takes a bribe in exchange for a pardon? Immune. Immune, immune, immune. Let the president violate the law. Let him exploit the trappings of his office for personal gain. Let him use his official power for evil ends. Because if he knew that he may one day face liability for breaking the law, he might not be as bold and fearless as we would like him to be. That's the majority's message today. Even if these nightmare scenarios never play out, and I pray they never do, the damage has been done. The relationship between the president and the people he serves has shifted irrevocably. In every use of official power, the president is now a king above the law. She closes, quote, never in the history of our republic has a president had reason to believe that he would be immune from criminal prosecution if he used the trappings of his office to violate the criminal law. Moving forward, however, all former presidents will be cloaked in such immunity. If the occupant of that office misuses official power for personal gain, the criminal law that the rest of us must abide will not provide a backstop. She says, quote, with fear for our democracy, I dissent. Justice Sotomayor's dissent was joined today by Justice Kagan and Justice Jackson. The three of them, and through Justice Sotomayor's writing this dissent, they have at least done us the favor of writing what's kind of a speaking dissent. It spells out, not in legalese, but in plain English, the stark consequences of this ruling today. To his credit, actually, President Biden did the same tonight at the White House. He said, quote, today's decision almost certainly means there's no limits to what a president can do. This is a fundamentally new principle, and it's a dangerous precedent. The power of the office will no longer be constrained by the law, even the Supreme Court of the United States. The only limits will be self-imposed by the president alone. But there are two practical consequences of this ruling that I feel like I need help in understanding tonight. I am worried about both of them, I have to tell you, but I feel like I need expert advice in terms of understanding what they really mean. And so I'm going to ask for some help on two things in particular. The first is this, which is not from the dissent, but from the actual ruling. It's talking about the part of the federal indictment against Trump for the overthrowing the government stuff, or the January 6th stuff, the part of the indictment that relates to him trying to use the Justice Department, trying to employ the Justice Department basically as a tool in his scheme to overthrow the government and hold on to power after he lost the election. On that point specifically, the ruling says this, quote, the indictment's allegations that the requested investigations were shams or proposed for an improper purpose do not divest the president of exclusive authority over the investigative and prosecutorial functions of the Justice Department and its officials. Because the president cannot be prosecuted for conduct within his exclusive constitutional authority, Trump is absolutely immune from prosecution for the alleged conduct involving his discussions with Justice Department officials. Absolutely immune from anything related to his discussions with Justice Department officials. My question is, doesn't that mean the president, any president here, is being given overt carte blanche from the court that he or she can tell the Justice Department to do anything for any reason, and it can never be reviewed for the life of that president? Because if so, among other things, Richard Nixon would like his presidency back, please. If everything that happens between a president and his Justice Department is absolutely immune from the criminal law, is absolutely immune from not only the prosecution, but investigation by the courts as a potentially criminal matter, that means that the president can do things with the Justice Department that, I mean, what's the limit? My second question is about what happens next in that federal case referenced there about January 6th. The justices in the majority today, with Chief Justice Roberts writing for them, said explicitly that they want portions of this case sent back to the district court. So not the part that relates to Trump talking to Justice Department officials, but the other parts of it. They want those parts of the indictment sent back to the district court, meaning back to Judge Tanya Chutkan's courtroom in Washington, D.C., essentially for her to determine in her courtroom whether or not Trump's actions, as described in the indictment, were official and therefore immune, or were they not official, which might mean that charges on those matters can go ahead. What does that mean exactly? What are the justices saying should happen in Judge Chutkan's courtroom? And when? And what will that look like to an American public that really is actively considering right now whether to send this particular felon back to the White House, thanks to the Republican Party of the United States?
Virtually everyone has an opinion about Thursday's debate between President Biden and Donald Trump, from politicians to pundits to the folks next door. My next guest told me earlier this week that she was, quote, disappointed with Biden's performance, but added, quote, President Biden is the best choice. He represents all people. It is his wisdom and caring of people we need. Trump is totally not qualified to be president. Who said that? America's aunt, my aunt Gloria Evan Kindred. Aunt Gloria, welcome back to the Saturday show. So you told me President Biden needed to slow down. Talk more about that.
He really does. You know, it's not that like we need someone who can run across the country. He went from Atlanta to North Carolina. He doesn't need to be doing all that. We need his wisdom. We need it in this world. If that's the only way we're going to stay away from World War III.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be on a campaign trail 24 hours. We need him to be there with his wisdom. Mm-hmm. He is the only person who can handle what's going on in the world right now.
Gloria,
and I think Kamala can do more.
How do you think Donald Trump came across in the debate?
That's the most racist man I ever seen. Way he said the blacks, that the migrants were taking jobs from the blacks. He doesn't think anything about anybody other than himself and rich people. And the sad thing about it, a lot of his people who follow him are these small town, middle class, working people. And he describes everyone as you're low class.
Mm-hmm. But hey, Aunt Gloria, let me play something from the debate on Thursday that made you, in your email to me, you said this particular thing, quote unquote, pissed you off. Watch this.
The fact is that his big kill on the black people is the millions of people that he's allowed to come in through the border. They're taking black jobs now.
Aunt Gloria, what's a black job?
obviously for Trump, it's low income, low workers, anything that low income. He does not respect blacks. He does not respect anyone other than rich people. I just thought, you're saying we're the only ones who are going to work those jobs, that we're no more than slaves. You know, we build the country off our backs, and then we have the migrants are coming and keeping it going. But he has no respect for people of our race, any race. And what's so sad is his constituents don't even realize he wouldn't even sit down with you. Mm. What happened to town halls? Let's see if he'll sit down and talk to people. But he won't. He just likes to throw out stuff. But to say the blacks, like, what are we? we got to put a sign up. We're the blacks.
Mm-hmm. Like, right. I'm going to put a sign up.
Oh, no. Well,
they're two, but yeah.
You are now Jonathan Cape Hart, one of the blacks. What? And Roy Reed, you're one of the blacks.
One of the blacks. All right. So, Uncle Ray, I got to get you one more thing before I have to let you go. How do you respond to the chorus of Democrats telling President Biden to drop out of the race?
No, he should not drop out of the race. He is the most qualified. Believe me, he is the only one who can handle all the things that are coming up. You don't want Trump there. No one else has his wisdom. And he's going to be fine. You know, he has a very capable person behind him, Vice President Kamala Harris. And he is the only one who can do this job. We need him there. Don't, you know, you got to, like he said, when he came to North Carolina, you get knocked down, get back up and fight. And that's exactly what you have to do.
Aunt Gloria, I want to thank you, as always, for coming to the Saturday show. And I'm going to call you because there's a weekend next month in July that's going to mark the 100 days before the November election. And I'm going to get you here to Washington, whether you want to come. Oh, good. Hear that, America? America's Aunt's going to be live here on the show that weekend. Aunt Gloria, thank you, as always, for coming to the Saturday show.
You're welcome. Take care.
My days are cooler. Nights are warmer. And I put the blame on you. Time moves slow. But my heart beats faster. With these eyes, I'm looking right at you. Right at you. You give me something to believe in. Just what I needed.
Breaking news, Luther Campbell, who we railed against, Uncle Luke, Doodle Brown, who was saying greasy stuff about the president, this electoral process, blah, 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 tweeted 9 hours ago, Joe Biden could be the walking dead. I will vote for him before I vote for a dictator. I was thinking third party. This SHIT just got real sad part about it. The Supreme Court knows exactly what they're doing. So it was the Supreme Court giving Donald Trump, because that's why they did this. Unlimited power that made Uncle Luke stop the nonsense, whatever it takes.
And how we overcome.
Whatever it takes. Get all of the strippers.
Exactly so. I think the Supreme Court decision, like everybody thinks the Dobbs decision is the one that's changing everybody's opinion. I think the Dobbs decision maxed out. Every woman that was going to vote on choice is going to vote on choice, and that has been set in stone, and nothing is going to change that. But for those who were not moved by that, this Supreme Court decision, I think, will make a whole lot of people think twice about giving that kind of power to Donald Trump, because they know he will be able to do anything. Anything. And he's already promised retribution against anybody he doesn't like. Now, trust and believe that retribution is not just going to be against Democrats. It's also going to be against people like Ron DeSantis, who was a thorn in his side. It'll be against Republicans in the Senate. It'll be against Mitch McConnell. It'll be against Marco Rubio, people who ran against him. You give him the power of retribution, there is no end to where that will stop. So I just say, people, think it through carefully. We are being way too highbrow about this. We said this earlier in the show about our messaging. You don't give that kind of power to that kind of man, period, full stop. And that's the message. What's going to be hard is living in a country run by Donald Trump. That will be hard. So the hard thing that we're talking about now, convincing people, talking to people, having those conversations, making those calls, those texts, those donations, all of that stuff.
Bribing our nieces and nephews.
Bribing our nieces. That's not hard. It's irritating. It's time consuming, maybe frustrating, maybe frightening, maybe inconvenient, but it's not hard, right? So let's just get real. We have one shot. Every institution that was supposed to protect our democracy has failed. The DOJ, the courts, the like Senate, the Congress, like Merrick Garland, like everything that was supposed to protect our democracy has failed. Partly because Democrats are so afraid of protecting democracy that protecting democracy would piss off the Republicans. They forgot that the Republicans don't want democracy anymore. But anyway, I put that aside. To the listeners that are listening to my voice right now, we have one shot, and that is in November. And you cannot play. So you're either going to be on the field or on the sideline. The game is going to go down one way or another, and you are going to live with those consequences, whether you like it or not. And so my thing is, if I have to live with those consequences, I'm going to do everything in my power to affect those consequences. I will not be on the sideline. Coach is going to have to put me in whatever way that I can play on that field to affect that outcome. I will not be on the sideline living with the consequence and wishing I had voted, right? I will not be second guessing my vote. So I'm going to be in the game. I'm going to vote. I'm going to help candidates. I'm going to donate. I'm going to knock doors. I'm going to bribe and coerce anybody I can into voting. I'm going to use my platform on social media. I'm going to send posts. I'm going to do it all so that whatever happens on November, I can at least look at myself and say, I did all I could. Ashe, to save this democracy. If I was willing to put on the uniform and go to Bahrain and fight our wars overseas, the least I can do is fight for this democracy right here at home from my couch. I can do that because I did it in 112 degree weather in the desert. I can do it in air conditioning in my apartment.
Come on, Pam Keith. Pam Keith, y'all. Pam Keith, y'all.
My days are cooler. Nights are warmer. And I put the blame on you.
We begin here with a critical meeting at this hour that could help determine the future of the 2024 election. President Joe Biden is with Democratic governors from across the country, including Governor J.B. Pritzker. CBS 2's Sabrina Franza joins us live with a key issue that's on the minds of voters. Sabrina.
Erica, that issue being mainly his age and his health. We're learning today that the president hasn't had a physical assessment since his annual physical back in February. The findings of that have not been made public. Experts telling us that releasing those findings could help alleviate some concerns of the people that the president is meeting with right now and with the public.
After days of criticism following last week's presidential debate, President Biden says he is not planning to drop out of the race for his reelection. At a Medal of Honor ceremony at the White House, the president posthumously presented medals to two Civil War heroes and said nothing about questions still swirling over his candidacy. White House Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre was asked if he would step down.
Absolutely not. And you heard, I believe, directly from the campaign as well.
Adding the president was also jet-lagged from a trip he took days before the debate, which she says added to his fatigue and cold that day.
I would say I don't think it's a new excuse. I think some of your colleagues reached out to us about the schedule. Some of your colleagues asked if the schedule was too strenuous.
A top aide for the president posted a comment on his behalf on social media platform X, saying, quote, I am running. I'm the leader of the Democratic Party. No one is pushing me out. After the Medal of Honor ceremony, President Biden entered a closed-door meeting with upwards of 20 Democratic governors. Governor J.B. Pritzker is one of them. He says he's still supporting Biden's reelection.
Yeah, I think that, again, he's our nominee. And so unless he makes a different decision, I'm on board.
We asked an expert what he thinks is happening in that meeting.
And I think the governor's meeting today is really to shore up the campaign. He wants the governors to even more strongly announce their support of him and the ticket in the fall. And the governors are the primary surrogates in all of the major states.
We did reach out to Governor J.B. Pritzker's team for comment. For more insight on what exactly is going on inside that governor's meeting, we'll let you know as soon as we learn more details, as soon as we hear back. For now, we're live in the loop. Sabrina Franza, CBS 2 News.
Hello, I'm Kevin Jameson, volunteer and president of the Dementia Society of America. Please request our free guide filled with facts about dementia. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Thank you. If you talk,
they will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So don't they hear you? You can do
it if you try. Victor Oscar. 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 Es folgen Mitteilungen für 283 5 Gruppen 5 0 7 5 0 7 5 2 Gruppen. Achtung 283 283 4 5 Gruppen 9 7 4 3 6 9 7 4 3 6
Schadenfreude. Schadifraud. Schadenfraud. Schadenfrude. 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 Schadenfreude. Schop, 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 schop.
Schadifraud. Thank you.
Thank you.